Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Thursday, October 21st, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We have a special guest today, Mr. Anthony Hilder.
Mm-hmm.
We'll bring him on in a minute or so. But first of all, we have to update you on the big Mike Gallagher, Michael Moore brouhaha that's happening here at Penn State tomorrow. Now, we found out through the grapevine today that the police services down on campus actually have a police file on Lisa and myself. Somehow, somebody found it necessary to give that to him. Maybe we're not going to mention any names, but
I'd like to know what's in it, since I've never been arrested in my life.
Right.
Hey.
And me neither. So we put in a call to the deputy of police services at Penn State. Also, we heard that there's some protest groups from Philadelphia that are going to be busing in busloads of people, supposedly, to protest this event. Supposedly, Fox News is going to be here, and it's turned into a real big event. So they're going to have Michael Moore at one end of campus, Mike Gallagher at the other, and we're going to be right in the middle with folks. We have our press passes here, so nobody makes any mistake where we're coming from. And hopefully Gallagher won't have us arrested, or at least attempt to have us arrested like last time. So we'll keep you informed. Now, without further ado, we have Mr. Anthony Hilder on the show today. He is the creator of a new DVD called 9/11, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold. He's also the creator of this video called Millennium 2000, which Lisa and myself reviewed about 2 years ago. And also, he was the subject of a two-page article in the American Free Press a couple months ago, along with Dick Gregory and Ted Gunderson, who he had on for 3 days in a row. So, Anthony, thank you for being on Wing TV.
And welcome.
Well, I'm happy to have the chance to talk about the new Fuhrer. And when I say new Fuhrer, it doesn't really make any difference who wins this election, or I should say selection.
Right.
Heads they win, tails we lose.
Right, and it looks like we're going to lose.
Well, it's Scary Carey, Skull and Bones 66, and Bush, Skull and Bones 68,
both
laid in the same coffin,
right,
not at the same time. It was born again into the Satanic Order.
Right. Anthony, you have on your site that the Illuminati never gambles upon an honest election. So tell people who the Illuminati actually is, briefly, and why they have such a stake in our American elections.
Well, they've got a stake in our hearts, and we need to pull that out and drive a stake into this vampirian beast. And when I talk about a beast, I'm saying that these people are practicing a religion which is Luciferian.
Oh, we couldn't agree more. Now,
and they are cashist. I call cashist the financial fascist from the Faustian fraternities of Yale, from the bowels of the beast in Europe. And if we take a look at what is the old world order, and we take a look at the new world order, we see that this is not something really new. Adolf Hitler announced it. He talked about the world order in his book. That was the title of the second one after Mein Kampf.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, he was financed by a fellow named Senator Prescott Bush.
Right, and George Bush
Senior. Granddaddy of young. I take a look at this man and I think, well, how could he possibly be a president? And then you take a look at the back of his coat in that last debate.
Right.
You
first
see some sort of box. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know that's how they wind him up, or they've got his things attached. But
yeah.
I mean, this guy is obviously not the brightest bulb on the block.
Right. Now, Anthony, before we get started with some questions on 9/11, tell everyone how they can find your website.
Well, they can go to freeworldalliance.com.
Okay, very good.
Freeworldalliance.com or freeworldalliance.org.
And we'll have that at the end of the show also.
Right.
Now, to start off, I think many people watching this show would agree that there is a hierarchical control pyramid that runs the world. And when you look at 9/11, it didn't just happen out of thin air. There was some planning involved. And if you go back and look at the PNAC letter of 1997 and also Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard, both of them call for this Pearl Harbor-like event that will mobilize Americans for war. So my question to you is, to start things off, is who specifically do you think was at the top of this control pyramid that ultimately said there's going to be a 9/11?
Well, it's not one person. This is an oligarchy of evil. This is an evilarchy.
Uh-huh.
It's an evilarchy in control. They pull the strings. It's not people on the far left or the people on the far right. We've got to get rid of that.
We agree.
To start looking at the enemy, and that is, these people are in the center. But we did. You look to the center and then look up.
Well, who in your opinion are these people?
The strings, the political pimps and prostitutes along the Potomac have a leader. And that's not just one individual. The American Illuminati is made up of several individuals.
And that's who would these be? Give us some names.
We face.
I'd like to ask you about the CFR. Are they the modern-day Illuminati, the American branch of the Illuminati?
Well, yes. In 1967, I did a set of records with Myron Fagan.
Right.
It's called the Illuminati CFR for the Council on Foreign Relations at 58 East 68th Street in New York City.
That's their headquarters?
That is the headquarters. It's the old Harold Pratt building.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a look at the administration of George Bush, we take a look at the administrators advising Gary Carey, they are also from the Council on Foreign Relations. And we take a look, of course, at the sister organization, the Trilateral Organization, the Trilateral Commission. Founded by Brzezinski and David Rockefeller.
Right.
In fact, if David became president, it would be a demotion.
They call themselves a national membership organization, a think tank, and publisher, and on their website, they say they're composed of 4,000 members, and they are not part of the government. Why do they have such major influence over America?
Well, they control the Federal Reserve. A friend of mine, and they, in fact, they own the Federal Reserve,
mm-hmm.
private stockholders of the Federal Reserve. And a friend of mine, a black talk show host out of Florida, has done a book called Thieves in the Temple, and I'm just finishing up the foreword to that book now. A brilliant, brilliant piece, and, you know, very few people would think, well, here comes Andre Michael Agbashan is quarterbacking the new team, because in the past half of the 20th century, we had generally old white men carrying the ball. And they really didn't understand that we have to have a team to incite a revelation, to win the war, to put points up on the scoreboard.
Uh-huh.
We have to have something that is inclusive rather than exclusive.
Right. Now, usually the people in America and the world at large are controlled pretty much like frogs in a pot, where they keep turning up the heat a little bit, and eventually we're going to boil to death. But every once in a while, they need a spike event, something that traumatizes people, and that is 9/11. That was one of the recent spike events. Now, my question to you is, what's the end game? What is their ultimate goal for this New World Order?
Well, it's Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Führer. One world, one race, one ruler. The game plan is to reduce the population of the planet by 80%. 4 out of 5 of those who are listening to the show must go, according to these people.
That was going to be my next question.
They want a prison planet. And there is nothing that they won't do. And there is nothing that they haven't done that is of a noble nature. These are ignoble people. For freedom to live, politically and socially, and financially, they must die.
They've infiltrated every level of our government and our mainstream media, as well as other power centers in our country. How can we incite a revelation when we can't even get the mass majority of people in America to realize what's going on?
Well, the first thing that we have to realize is that we have three major enemies. You think, well, all they've got to be David Rockefeller, Brzezinski, and Henry Kissinger. Well, no. It's apathy, it's arrogance, and it's ignorance. We must have an alliance, and that is an alliance of the political, religious, tribal, linguistic, nation, states. And I see people say, well, what is that? I mean, that means that we recognize unilaterally the various divided nation states that do exist and are not recognized by the United Nations. To have a world that is free, it cannot be united. A world united is not free. And
right.
A world free is not united.
Yeah. Now, in the 9/11 community of late, there are segments that seem to be branching off a lot into this whole peak oil thing. And hand in hand going with peak oil is the concept of overpopulation and population reduction,
right,
which you just mentioned. One of the main proponents of this who admitted that he advocates this is Mike Rupert. So tell us how this whole population reduction scheme fits into the ultimate goals of the New World Order.
Well, Rupert is blasting Alex Jones, Ted Gunderson, myself.
Me?
I think a fellow named Victor Thorne.
Right.
But yeah, and all across the board. And people say, well, he's simply, gone mad. I don't know. Or maybe he's an agent. His family's CIA. And he's made some charges against me, which I've got to follow through and bring him into a court of law. And that's my intentions.
And we'll speak a little bit about overpopulation, because when he admits to it advocating this, I think people look at it intellectually, but the brute reality of it is they're going to start wiping human beings off the face of the earth.
Wait a minute. I think you got it wrong. They
already are.
I mean, these are the people who dropped a bomb in Hiroshima.
Right, exactly.
In Nagasaki, the two heavily most populated Christian cities in Japan, after there was an overture of peace.
Right.
On the desk of General Curtis LeMay in Guam.
Right.
I heard this through General Wiley Gainey, who I had a personal conversation with, who saw this.
Yeah.
So Truman, old Whorehouse Harry, and I say Whorehouse Harry because the haberdashery over there in Kansas City was a front for a cat house. I talked to one of the customers. I talked to one of the fellows in one of the bands I used to play with or record. And they verified it. And he's the fellow who released 60 Capone and Pendergast mobsters his first year in office, out of prison. I mean, we're dealing with a group of people that are related to the Masonic religion. And, of course,
right,
there's a fellow named General Albert Pike who,
yeah,
said, yes, Lucifer is God.
That's right.
And those in the higher order should be following the Luciferian doctrine. This is in their Bible called Morals and Dogma.
You know, maybe a lesser known fact is that Thomas Jefferson was actually part of this in getting the Illuminati into the Masonic lodges, and John Quincy Adams actually wrote letters warning of this, right?
Well, according to Ralph Epperson and individuals who have done some research on it, and I haven't.
Myron Fagan wrote about it on your site.
Well, there are a number of people who are getting into this. In fact, a fellow told me last night and had broken the code, which is in the Masonic Bible, Morals and Dogma, validating the fact that this is true Luciferian. In fact, we take a look at the mentor of Adolf Hitler, and that was Madame Helena Petrovna Blavatsky.
Blavatsky, yeah.
Who was the authoress, the editor, co-editor of Lucifer magazine. She was also the publisher of Lucifer magazine. And she and Annie Besant were working it, and you go up to Ojai Valley here, which I call a little Satan place. They've got remnants of her organization, and you go to Meditation Mountain and
right,
throughout the valley, and I went to school there.
Yeah. Well, when we look at 9/11,
you see remnants of that.
Yeah. When we look at 9/11, I was reading this article in the American Free Press, and you mentioned how, and this has been brought up by other people, that George Bush misspoke on a couple of different occasions about actually seeing the first plane hit the World Trade mm-hmm. Center towers. Now,
how
you,
would that be?
Yeah, you and other people have conjectured that he actually saw like a closed-circuit television image of the event or whatever. Can you explain a little bit about that? Because
said that he was, when asked a question by a student, and this is in Orlando, Florida, his name was Jordan, he said, the student had asked him, he said, well, when did you first see this? He says, well, I was watching it on television.
Yeah.
And if you go in the timeline, that would put him in the either in the hotel or just right shortly after that in Orlando, going, or not in Orlando, but in Bradenton, and going to the Booker School, where Andy Card, during the lecture to the school children, came over and told them about the second event. So that would mean that, yes, he was watching it on television. It would have to be closed circuit. CIA.
Right.
It wasn't on ABC or NBC or CBS or CNN. It had to be on closed circuit CIA, and it's not a mistake. He said he was watching it on TV.
And he said it more than once, I believe.
Comment about how bad the pilot was. That
right.
meant that he had to be sitting there
watching
looking
it.
At a screen, looking at the Twin Towers before the plane arrived.
Exactly.
That would mean like he has to have the mentality of Nero playing the fiddle as Rome burned. And I would like people to take a look at our very explanatory video, 9/11, the greatest lie ever sold.
Yeah. Give your website address.
I've got a companion piece, which is Eric Hufschmidt's tape, 9/11, the painful question.
Right.
Do you believe a plane hit the Pentagon?
Well, if it did, it had to be a magical sort of plane. You've got a 155-foot wingspan, and then it disappears into a 16-foot hole.
Exactly.
And, in fact, if you take a look at the fuselage of one of these planes, it's got to be about 16, 18 feet across.
Anthony, we had Russ Wittenberg, a 757 pilot who flew the exact planes that we all saw destroyed on 9/11. In fact, he flew most of that particular fleet previously. And he said that a 757 is not capable of doing maneuvers that are more indicative of a military jet aircraft, which is what that Pentagon 757 would have had to be able to perform.
Well, that would be the case, of course, unless you were a believer in Fahrenheit 9/11, and there's a new tape out.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to be on the air next week with, in fact, Ron Silver. Is it Ron Silver? The actor.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah.
And he's going to be saying that, Moore's tape is fraudulent, and this is all very, very... the story that we got is all very, very true, but it's really not. I think, you know, if you like what Hitler did, you're going to love what Bush is doing, what Bush has done, and what he... Well, if we follow this film, thinking that, you know, he's walking in the footsteps of the Lord, that you're going to wind up in heaven... You're not going to be stopping in purgatory. You're going to go straight to hell.
Do we have Satanists in the White House?
You have what?
Do we have Satanists in the White House?
I'm not sure whether I understand that.
If they worship Lucifer, are they Satanists?
Oh, Satanists in the White House.
Yeah.
practicing. Yes. I mean, would these people throw the Virgin into the volcano? You bet your britches, they would be doing just that sort of thing. Would they sacrifice 250,000 people in one snap? Hiroshima? Absolutely.
Now, yesterday, CNN and Fox came out with official reports that explained how the World Trade Center towers collapsed, and they also explained why the tower that was hit second, that had less damage to it and most of the fuel splashed outside of it, collapsed earlier than the first tower that was hit. And the official explanation is that it was the angle and location of where the airplanes hit. So how much?
Wait a minute. What airplane hit building number 7?
None.
What
right.
location? What, like, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But this is what want us to believe, that the angle and location. How ludicrous.
The angle and location, isn't it strange? Three buildings made out of steel.
Steel, right.
And concrete. At that, and when they were built, the tallest buildings in the world, structured so that they could withstand the hit of a 707. And these buildings went down? I mean, this is the first time in the history
of the world. Right.
And three buildings go down in the same day. And people think, now you are very bright people listening to this show. You are doing something that others don't.
We're seeing through the veil.
You're investigating. You're
right.
Looking at the alternative. But you could be looking at ABC or NBC or CBS or even worse, what is it, Fox. And there is the fox in the hen house.
Yeah.
This guy's not a Christian nor a conservative. The ones that they're pushing.
Right.
But back to this. Figure this thing out. If a plane is flying and you're in the air, you've gone across the country, the plane is using Jet A fuel. That's fuel that burns at 700 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
My God, if the plane is up in the air, you think, when is the engine going to melt? The engine has steel in it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it would melt the steel, the planes couldn't fly.
Mm-hmm. Right. But
why would it be hotter inside the building than in the engine?
Yeah. And they pedal this stuff
if you just took those engines, which are 9 feet across, and put them side by side, that's 18 feet, that's 2 feet wider than the hole in the Pentagon.
How can people buy this stuff, Anthony? It boggles my mind. It truly does. But
out of the 19 so-called skyjackers, 7 of them are still alive today.
Right.
Well, Anthony, and one of them was dead before the event.
It's amazing.
If you can buy that, you're going to believe Fahrenheit 911.
He rose from the dead. Well, Anthony, we got to close it up right now, but I'm going to read one last quote that you gave to the AFP. You said, and I want everyone to really listen to this.
Yeah.
This is coming straight from Anthony Hilder. He says, an evil oligarchy operates at the highest levels, including the Bilderbergs, the Trilateral Commission, and the Council on Foreign Relations, to set up the 9/11 attacks to advance the New World Order.
That is exactly the truth.
Right.
What they are saying is exactly the lie.
Right. Tell everyone once again how they can find your website and also your latest video, 9/11, the greatest lie ever sold.
Well, first of all, it's freeworldalliance.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to get to a direct line, they can dial 888-838-731. That's 888-838-731. And I will furnish them the Hofschmidt tape, which is explanatory, and the DVD or VHS with 911, which tells who did it, how they did it, why they did it, and the fact that they're going to do it again. So that's 888-838-731, or go to freeworldalliance.com.
Well, Anthony, thank you so much for being on Wing TV. It's been very, very eye-opening. And this guy knows what he's talking about, folks, so check out his website.
Thank you so much, Anthony. And remember, it doesn't matter who you pick. Bush or Kerry, they all work for the same people.
Right, and we'll be tomorrow.
Heads they win, tails we lose.
Right.
Thank you both. God bless. bless, Godspeed, and keep listening.
Thank you very much, Anthony.
Keep us updated, Anthony.
And tomorrow we'll have Mr. John Buchanan on, and also we're going to be at the Mike Gallagher event. Hopefully we don't end up in jail. We'll see you tomorrow, folks, on Wing TV.
Have a good one.